down to earth stuff. Okay, so we're going to finish this sheet, and I want to click along because I've got some other things that we just have to get to. Okay, so we left off on the page 3, and we left off with honoring God by praising and worshiping the sovereign God. Now, we want to say this thing for us, and that is there is a difference between praising God and worshiping God. When we are praising God, we are thanking him for what he's given to us. I have a roof over my head. I have some food in the fridge. I have some clothes. That kind of thing. Shelter, our basic needs. But when we're worshiping God, we are worshiping him for him alone. We worship and exalt him. Whether you gave me anything or not, I worship you, Almighty God, because you're sovereign. And a lot of times we might ask, well, what is under sovereignty? I asked that question when I was injured in Kazakhstan, and the question was, you know, I know that you permitted what happened to me, but what's under that? How do I reconcile that? How do I deal with the injustice of it all? And one of the things he said, you know, pay attention to what sovereignty means. And I said, okay, well, let me ask the Holy Spirit, what does sovereignty mean to God? Well, sovereignty means is that what's under that? Okay, what is under that? Everything. Everything is under his sovereignty. Whether it's allowed in your life or it was permitted in your life, it's all under his sovereignty. And if we give it to him, our pain, our tears, our journey, our valleys, our mountaintops, he will use it if we allow him to use it. And he will always bring blessing from it or some fruit from it, some growth from it, some lesson from it, some truth from it. Another place that you can step because now I have this knowledge and this information. So I said, okay, well, if everything is under your sovereignty, what is it that I need to remember when things come into my life, particularly things that don't seem on the fair side, is that he said two words, D, is what you need to remember to do. And that is you need to say to me, even this I give to you. Even this, I give it to you. Use it. But even this, God is such a gentleman. He will not cross our will. He gave us that will. So he's not going to cross it. So we have to, at times, not that he needs our permission for anything, but because we have that will that he's given us, he wants us to choose to love him. To choose to be with him, to choose to have that quiet time, to choose to meet him in the morning and throughout the day and before you go to bed and when you rise up in the morning. He wants us to choose him over blah, blah, blah. And so because of that, I even have to choose and say, Father, use it all for your glory. But help me to get through it while I'm walking it out. You see, because all that stuff is process work that we must do. We can't just go from, I have faith. Yes, I have faith. But a lot of our faith gets enlarged and the borders get stretched as we actually walk it out. There are times when God will do instant, miraculous things in our life. But for the most part, through Genesis and Revelation, God is a process God. Because he wants you to get the lessons. He wants you to be able to have a testimony. How we went through something and got to the other side, that's the testimony. But we need to tell the truth when we tell our testimony. Don't leave out all the hard stuff. Because then when we're trying to testify to somebody else and we leave out all the hard stuff and all the trial and tribulation of it and all the hurt and anger and all that, the sadness of it, then we don't give people the real deal. And then they get to that place and they're like, I thought you said it was like this, like a piece of cake. You know, all I had to do was this. No, you have to do this, plus this, plus this, plus this. But while you're doing it, God says, like in Joshua, I will go with you. I'll go with you. I'll go with you. And I love the fact that, like, the first 6 books in Joshua, where God has to continue to remind him, You're not alone. You're not alone. I don't care if your whole family or your friends or your whoever leave you, betray you, step away from you. You are not alone. You have me. You have the Holy Spirit. You have Jesus. You have the whole angelic world at your disposal. Just ask me. Come and be with me. And so with that, I just wanted to, you know, say our testimonies are a great, great tool. And it's also a spiritual warfare weapon. We don't traditionally say that our testimony is a weapon, a spiritual weapon. But if you go through it and you testify to that, it's a weapon because you have given somebody else hope. That even though they're over here, there's an anchor of hope that they can cling and hold on to, that this too shall pass. But your testimony is telling them, but in the meantime, this too shall pass, but in the meantime, what do I do? How do I walk it? What's it going to look like? That's our testimony. When we tell the truth about our testimony, we tell them about in the in-between times and in the meantime. While you wait, okay, allow him to break in, to break through so you can break out and become and do all that you're designed to be and do. Amen? Worship and praise, different. I worship first by starting with the names of God or the names of the Holy Spirit, depending on who I need at the time. But saying their names, Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, when you use their names in your worship time, not just the worship music, but his names is his character. His name is his attribute. His name speaks power of what he can do. If you're walking around and you're saying Jehovah Jireh, do you really believe that he's a provider? Do you really believe that he's a need meter? Jireh. Say his names. If you need a peace, for example, then you're not going to call on all these other names of who he is. You're going to say Jehovah Shalom. I need your peace. I need your quietness. So my mind is racing. So use his name. Study the names of God. There's so many hundreds and hundreds of derivatives from the word El. So you don't need to go into that. There are approximately 15 main names that God has, and out of that come other derivatives, and also from the Greek or the, you know, Hebraic, etc. But he has mainly 15 main names, and study them, learn them, you know, for yourself. In this handout, I've given you some of the basic names of the Holy Spirit, not of God himself, because of what we're going to be talking about requires Holy Spirit intervention, so I spent that just with that. But take some time, my sisters, at some point or another, and study the names and call on those names. The moment you utter it from your mouth, it's already being acted on. Amen? He says, I know your thoughts before you even say it. But because we have a free will and because he wants intimacy and he wants us to love him and seek him and go after him, going hard after him, then he wants you to say it. And the sisters were talking about, you know, the trials that they had. Psalm 109 is like one of the greatest psalms in scripture in terms of, can I be real before you, God? In Psalm 109, David is talking about everything. Just kill them. Wipe them off the face of the earth. You know they're your enemy. They're my enemy. Why aren't you doing something? Do something and do it now. You know, I don't even want to have to deal with the people. And he just disputing off all kind of stuff. But God was listening, quietly letting David just go on and on. And as you finish that psalm, you will see that eventually, because he had a safe person to hear him and let him be real and not trying to say, no, I'm not angry, slam the door. Yes, you are. You just slammed the door. Okay? So allowing us to be real with our stuff, but yet at the end of that verse, of that whole psalm, David then was like, oh, okay. Okay, I lost my mind for a minute. You know. Thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy to hear me out. And then he was able to move on. And sometimes we just need to be able to say it. then we can move on. Other times we need to do the work of it, okay? All right, so then the next thing is being honoring God is developing a servant heart, as Jesus did. Accept and understand your identity, which we've gone over. Align your thoughts and your behaviors as being directed by the Holy Spirit. And then honor God by choosing to be healed and delivered. You have to choose that. He's not going to make you do anything. You have to choose to be healed and delivered. And then it says here in Psalms 86:12, I will give thanks to you, O God, my God, mine, D. Brown's God, with my whole heart. I will glorify and honor your name forever. Sisters, scripture, when we're singing scripture or praying scripture, put your name in it. Whoever's name it is that you're praying for, put their name in that scripture. The word is alive, okay, for us. It's alive. All right, now let's go to page 4 in your handout. And at the top, it says, we have everything we need to walk in victory. One of our sisters just finished saying that. We come with everything that we need. We have a divine design for a divine destiny. We are destined to reign. Now, some of the things that I learned about looking at that, those three things, I want to come back to that. I want to give you the definition of this acronym first, okay? Then I'll come back to the top. The D, when we're looking at my divine design and seeing myself the way that God sees me, so that in turn, I am honoring him because of who he is, and I'm embracing what he has given me as my heavenly Abba Father and identifying with that. So the D stands for, first of all, you need to agree with the revelation that you have a divine purpose. A lot of times we don't stand in agreement with that. We minimize or dismiss it. Oh, no, I could never do. God calls and anoints and appoints and will consecrate you to be able to do what he has called you to do. That's his job to do. It is the Holy Spirit's work. Okay, so we need to agree with that. Then we also need to agree that you want to finish well. That's still under the D. Determine to finish well. You know, 2 Timothy is like, you know, I've run the race. This is not a sprint, sisters. It's a marathon race. It is a race. You have to prepare. You have to strengthen your muscles. You know, the racers will say many times that they can race, I don't know how much training, and they run in so many races, and then all of a sudden, it doesn't happen all the time, but there's times when that racer will tell you that they run up against what they call the wall. And they could be 2 inches away from the finish line, and if they hit that wall and they didn't prepare to go beyond it, they collapse right there. Everything that they did, they had no more in them. Now, God wants us to finish the race. At the end of what you can do, God will do 100 times fold. Whatever your faith is, if it's right here, he will add this for the next step that you need to do. And if at the end of that, and he needs you to do something else and you don't have that faith because I'm still just right here, he will add. You do what you can do, and he will always add. Amen? So that we finish. We don't get a wall with him. At the end of myself, I need to come to the end of myself sometimes so that he can come in and take me across the finish line. Amen? All right, now E stands for you will, if you ask, be empowered and anointed by the Holy Spirit to be transformed. You can get that. But D, you don't understand. You don't understand where I've been, where I've come from. You don't understand my past. Look, your past is just that, but take the knowledge of your past. Don't stay in your past. It's knowledge and information, it's wisdom for you of what you do today. What decision are you going to make today based on the past? You can change the generational cycles and patterns. It only takes one person in the generation to do that. If in your generation you didn't talk about anything, you didn't share anything, you didn't resolve anything, we didn't hang out our dirty laundry, we didn't let anybody know what's going on in the house, but maybe in your generation you say, I'm going to make sure that my kids feel safe enough to talk to me about anything. You already broke a generational thing of silence over here. It only takes one, and then they will add to that, and they will add to that, and they will add to that. Okay, then the S stands for speak the truth. Speak the truth to yourself. Don't water it down. The word said the truth is what sets us free. Not half truth, some kind of some way of the truth, some distorted truth. No, speak the truth. The truth will set you free. Now listen, it might cost you some pain. I can't promise you that it won't cost you some rain or pain. But listen, if I speak the truth, the sunshine will come out. If I speak the truth, I will move not just from I'm healed to I will be delivered from that thing. So when it comes again, I know what to do. I know what to do. Okay, so then the other thing about the S is utilize your giftings. Don't sit on your gifts. Utilize your giftings, your spiritual gifts. Use them. Listen, every person that comes into the kingdom of God, it's the Holy Spirit's job to give you spiritual gifts. That's what he gives you. It is his job also to make sure that you grow in that, but you have to work with him on that. You don't just come out of the womb and already know how to fix a five-course meal. It's a process. You know, I'm trying to stand up. I'm trying to crawl first. I'm trying to stand up. I'm falling down. I'm trying to get up. And then I'm trying to walk, and I take a couple steps, and then all of a sudden I'm running, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Developing your skills of spiritual giftings, it takes time for you to really know how to use those gifts in various situations. But take the time to know them, okay? All the gifts have shadow sides to them, too, which you need to know as spiritual warriors. What is the enemy going to do with that gift to pervert it? Okay? For example, mercy-gifted people, how they're compassionate. They can see things. They some level of mercy-gifted people, not all of them, actually feel physical pain with you. Not all. It just depends on what their calling is. But the idea is that they have that compassion and mercy for you, for your circumstance, for your situation, for what you're going through. But here's the shadow side of a mercy-gifted person. They usually do not maintain boundaries. They don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So they just keep saying, oh, okay, yeah, I think I could make that work. You know, I just need to make some changes this week, and I can maybe make that work. They're always making it work for you, not for themselves, okay? So then they can end up, if they continue with that moving boundary stuff as a mercy-gifted person, they can become resentful. Now, you don't even know sometimes that they are being resentful because they're too nice, okay, because they have a servant heart. But they're being resentful, like, I'm the only one that's ever coming down here. After a while, it's like, but how come nobody else is serving? I'm the only one that ever shows up on time to set up the tables for, you know, to make sure that the handouts are in the back of the, you know. Then they start talking like that. That shadow side of that gift, then, as you move your boundary and now you're becoming resentful. If you don't check resentment, it becomes bitterness. If you don't check bitterness, it becomes a stronghold. If you don't check a stronghold, it becomes a bondage. Amen? And if you don't check bondage, it will become entrenched. And it's harder to deal with bondage and entrenchment than it is to back it up back here. Yes, I will do that. So if you move in resentment, if you do not allow the Holy Spirit to bring to you the truth of that, the root of your resentment, then if it lingers and you start dwelling, it will turn to bitterness. The progression from bitterness is stronghold. And from stronghold, if you don't deal with it, it will turn to bondage. Bondages are passed on. If you don't deal with the bondage, it can become an issue that I call now entrenchment. I didn't know about this word entrenchment until 4 years ago. And I was asking God, I have clients that I know are healed. And he said, yeah, but they're not delivered yet. They've done a lot of work in the healing. They know the source of this. They know the source of that. They're changing their behaviors and patterns. But every now and then, everything that they know just gets sabotaged out of the blue. And they don't even realize how come that happened. And they sabotage themselves and they continue to repeat a strong place there that continues to destroy and permeate in other relationships. It becomes toxic in other relationships. That's one of the things that we know about entrenchment. It never just affects you. It's always a relational issue. It will eventually impact your relationships. So I said, God, I have to be able to teach on entrenchment. And so we'll get to that in just a minute. Okay, so did you get that? That cycle? Okay. So what do we want to do? We want to back it up and we want to take it to the Lord and confess when we're feeling resentful, right? Because the path, if we don't, is not cool. All right, the I stands, the Holy Spirit wants to ignite a fire under us. He wants to ignite a fire on us. He wants us to be on fire. Now listen, you don't have to be a Billy Graham speaking the way, you know. No, being on fire is that I love you so much, God, what can I do for you today? You know, I love you so much. Okay, being on fire for him, listening and doing that which he's asked you to do. The I also stands for important things that he's doing in your life. Write them down, sisters. We think we're going to remember, but here comes something else, and all of a sudden you forgot everything you learned about that. You're just dealing with the immediate issue right in front of you. But if you write things down, you can go back and read them. You don't have to be a journal that just journals everything. You know, bullet point it if you need to. However you journal is, do it the way that's going to make an impact for you as a tool. So when something comes, you know, here, I know what I'm going to do because I saw the evidence of what happened before. But I also saw the faithfulness of God because I'm still standing. If you're still standing and can speak about your past, God was in it somewhere. Amen? Hallelujah. The other thing about the I is, and the sisters talked about it with their prayer, is that you want to establish intimacy with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Intimacy means into me see. That's what intimacy means. Into me see. I have such a deep relationship with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. He sees me, okay? And he is allowing me to see him and who he is in my life. You know, as I study and as I read and as I allow him to work in my circumstances, I am seeing him, too. Intimacy is what that means. The G stands for try to get a godly perspective when you're making decisions. Have a godly perspective. Stop burying things in your life. A godly perspective is that I want to be so transparent that he has an opportunity to transform me from the inside out. See? And then the N stands for no limits. Stop putting limits on God. There's no limits with him. We are the only people that limit ourselves. It's us, me, myself, and I. We limit ourselves. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, the Lord says, for the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearances, yet the Lord looks at your heart. Inside, he's concerned about your heart motive that you have. So God, here I am. I'm a blank canvas. Do what you need to do today. Okay? And then do what he wants you to do today. In this hour, in this moment. I believe right now for my life, I am living in what I call a Caleb season of life. I'm almost 70, and I love this season. I've loved all the seasons of my life. However, this season, to me, is I'm hoping to be the most valuable to the kingdom of God than anything else. It's right now. It's at the end that I want to have the most. And I said, God, like Caleb, you know, when he was in his 80s, we think, might have been 90s because we don't really exactly know. So between 80 and 100 is what we kind of think from the theologians. But here we are at the end of his life, and he's saying, God, Jehovah, Yahweh, is there anything else that you want me to do for you? I'm in Caleb right now. This is my season. Is there anything else, Father, that you want me to do? My time is your time. And he's going to make time for his time. Amen? So that's where I want to be. So I encourage those of us that are, you know, in different seasons of our life towards the 80s and 70s and 60s, we have a lot to do. My mother died when she was 84. Wonderful woman, great friend, spiritual warrior, my prayer person, everything. And she happened to be my mom. But the day that she died, she brought one more person into the kingdom. And that was my neighbor. I've been ministering, have been ministering and witnessing to this neighbor for like umpteen years. So we moved there in the place that we live in 1974. And so my mother died in 2005. And my dad died in 2008. Well, here's my mom. This lady is coming over, and my mom is still sharing about the love of God, reading scripture. And she couldn't do certain things anymore because she used to do a lot of stuff. But listen, she was still can be an exhorter. She was still an encourager, and she could still pray. And that's what she did. See, ladies, even at the end of our lives, there may be something that you can do with your life, and you don't even know it. And now this woman who was an unbeliever, now witnessing to her children and to her grandchildren, some of her children don't even talk to her, but she's trying to witness now and be the grandparent that she wasn't the mother of to her own children. All because now I have something in me that can help me to do that. Young or older, we have purpose and destiny, sisters, and there's no limits to what God can do in you, through you, and around you. Amen? All right, now let's turn to the next page here. On page 5, I'm not going to go through this. I just wanted to put this in here for you to reflect on and really study the scriptures for yourself. So I'm just going to read it, you know, briefly here. And I think also in your handouts there was a summary kind of this too, is that we need to see your reflection through the eyes of your Abba Father. See that you're chosen. You're not an accident. I don't care how you came into this world. Maybe it was in the human mind an accident, but it's not an accident to God. You matter. You matter. You're important to him. You were chosen by him, okay? And that's what he says in Scripture. Then also, he wants you to see yourself as being confident. He wants you to be bold. Now, you don't have to be boisterous to be bold. Okay, some people, we think they are so humble, they're so meek, they're so shy, that they're not bold. Some of those people are the boldest people ever. Okay, because they can kind of go like this in between things and everything. They're not, everybody's not looking at them and everything, but they're quietly going about doing what God has asked them to do. See, boldness is that my boldness and strength and authority comes from the God Most High. And it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it's anointed for me to be able to speak it with that kind of boldness because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay, then also see yourself as a co-laborer. Does he need us? God don't need us. But he desires for us to walk with him. To be a part of being people with skin on them to represent him as our Father in heaven. When Jesus came, he said, you see me, you see my Father. I want people to say, not that they see God, that I'm a God or something, but I want them to see, man, I see a light in you. I see a light in you, D. I see an inspiration in you. I see enthusiasm in you. Look, I don't want to be a constipated Christian. Listen, period. No, I just don't want to be that. Even in my darkest days, I wasn't like that. Okay, get around somebody. Encourage somebody. You don't have to be way over here like a 10, you know, up here. Look, in your own style, do it in your own style, but do something. Okay? Do something. Don't just sit. Okay, then see yourself as wonderfully made. And he says that you were wonderfully made. Says that in Ephesians, but he also says that in Psalm 139. Okay, then see yourself as a conqueror. Listen, if you got out of bed today and you said, Satan, you know, listen, I'm more than a conqueror. Did you hear me? Like, more than. Anything that you can do, God says, I'm more than. He's got it covered. The Holy Spirit is going to help me to do it. I'm more than. But we get out of bed sometimes and we don't believe that we're more than. But he says, see yourself as a conqueror. You are a victorious woman. But you got to see that for yourself. And then you got to do the things that's necessary for you to become that if you're not that already. And remember, not everybody is going to be shining up in the bright lights. I'll never forget, I love the fact that here we had our person in the scriptures where, listen, we had Barnabas, we had some of the other lesser people, Gideon and so forth. They said Gideon was very short. He was like, you know, statue was this. And he didn't feel at first that he was confident even in just his looks. But we also find that we're looking on the outside and God's looking at your heart. What's your heart motive? To help. You know, to help. We are not all Pauls, you know, but some of the people were like Timothy. Some of the people were like Mark, who needed to just be taught a little bit more so they could have a little bit more confidence so that they could join Paul later in his ministries. Paul was like, I don't have time for y'all. Okay, now Paul was what, functioning out of a gift, which was an apostolic calling, an administrative gifted person, and he had knowledge. So those people, they see the end and the beginning, and they know how to get there. And other people, if you're not catching up with them, you're kind of a weight for them. You're a burden. They'd rather do it themselves. So that's kind of where Paul was like, oh, I'll stay back and help Timothy and Mark. And we'll join you later when we kind of get up to your speed. All right, so not all of us are out here. And then see yourself as valuable. You will have a crown of splendor in God's hands, a royal diadem. He says in Isaiah 43:4, you are precious in my sight. Okay, now I want to just speak to the handout You can take that handout now that you had on In Christ I Am. And I only want to give you an instruction on this sheet. I'm not going to go over it, but it's a tool for you. And here's why I want you to use it as a tool. I want you to take this sheet. Everybody have one? A copy of that? Okay. Everybody? Okay. If you don't, I have some more up here. Okay, so what I want you to do is, so many times we quote scripture, but we don't really actually believe it or manifest it in our lives. So when we look at who we are in Christ, I want you to take a highlighter whenever, and I want you to just go down each of these things of who God says you are. And the ones that you feel that you believe, highlight it. Now, this is not a shame exercise. Oh, my gosh, I only have two highlighted. That's not about that. It is for you to know, like, what's causing me not to believe that? What root issue is causing me not to really believe what God says that I am? And then if we really believe these things, could the enemy really stop us? Can we stop ourselves? Because we can replace the truth of that, any lies that he wanted to put out. So that's just an exercise for you to do. Look and see what it is that you are struggling with. Okay? Everybody got that? All right, let's go to the next page, page 6. Now, this particular handout is specific to warfare, and it's specific to how we're going to walk with the Holy Spirit, and it's specific to us actually understanding the seasons of healing versus deliverance. Like I shared, 4 years ago, I was wondering what was happening with some people that I was working with. And I said, they've got so much healing in them, and yet there's these places that keep arising. And so I said, well, God, what's the problem? One of the things I heard from the Holy Spirit is that we don't understand the difference of maturity of healing versus deliverance. Healing is part of deliverance, but everybody that's healed is not delivered. And when we're doing the right things and saying the right things, and our actions will demonstrate that, then we're in a delivered state. But if we continue to sabotage that, we're still just in the healing journey. So I said, how would I communicate that then to the brothers and sisters in Christ? And he gave me 5 seasons of how we could do that. Now, there's many, many things, and I teach on different tools and everything, but I just want to give you this one. And there's 5 of them. The first 3 is part of healing. The last 2 is a person who's walking out in a deliberate process. Okay, so let's go over the first one. The first season is awareness. Now, under awareness, I just put some of the words that you guys need to look at. When you're looking at that word awareness, it means to be watchful. It means to be alert. This is already on your sheet, so you don't have to write it. And then it means to be responsive. What you find out about yourself, you need to do something about it. So it doesn't become a place that is going to hamper your growth and your maturity. I want to put this right here for right now. Can y'all see that back there? Am I standing in your way? Okay. So X marks the spot. And some of you that was at the retreat, you saw me draw this picture. So this will be a review kind of for you. But I want you to put that knowledge that you got there and kind of go over it with what I'm doing today. Okay. So right here is X marks the spot. This is your salvation day. Whenever you ask the Holy Spirit into your life, okay? Then right over here is glorification. This is where I'm gone from this world into the next. But between salvation and glorification, in the faith-based community, we call that sanctification journey. Sanctification. That means I'm moving in maturity, I'm moving in becoming more Christ-like. I'm moving in a delivered state. By the time I get closer to here, I should be moving as a mature person and not staying back here like I don't know who I am, okay? Now, here's where the problem comes in. In our faith-based community, so often, once you become saved, they will say to you that you are a new creature, okay? Now you're a new creature. You're reborn, etc., which is true. However, down here is all this root stuff that I brought into the day that I said Jesus come into my life. That's still there. That didn't change just because that happened. Okay, so, but what I get the Holy Spirit, I get Jesus, I get God, and all that he wants to do to help. Because right now, because from salvation to glorification, it's the Holy Spirit's job, is the Holy Spirit will help you to deal with the stuff that you brought into your salvation journey. The root issues of things. Residual stuff that happens. Residual things. So when we're walking along this sanctification process, but we're not doing this because we're kind of covering it up now, with I'm a new creature. Okay, so this gets covered up. But who's not covering it up? The enemy is not covering it up. This is where we have the entry, and this is where this creates unresolved, unhealed, undelivered, creates our warfare issues. What is our warfare issues about? It's not about something that we're victorious over. It's about trying to get you defeated again. So if you don't know that you're delivered from that, when that thing comes out again to you, you're going to act like you are still dealing with it. Example, forgiveness. You know, so many people like, I thought I forgave. You probably did. But the problem, what's missing is that we do this first in alignment with God. But then we have to walk out the forgiveness journey. That's a process to walk that out. But we don't tell people it's a process. We just give them this right here, which God wants us to do. But also be real when you do this. God, I have still some really bad feelings here. You know, but please help me to be willing to work it through. That's still doing this. And then keep coming back here because that's your center, your rock, your anchor, so that he can help you in the journey to walk the process out. Now, I'm going to give you an example of this here in just a minute. Somebody remind me, do you share about the forgiveness story? Okay, so here I am. This stuff keeps shooting up out the ground. But I'm like, oh yeah, but I'm a new creature. I can't look at this. You just need to have enough faith, and this is going to go away. You just need to pray enough, and this is going to go away. That is all true. Those are tools to empower you to deal with this stuff. Because anything that you do not deal with will keep you stuck at that place of immaturity. Because you can't go past your own growth. If you're not grown to that place, then you're going to be stuck right here. You see what I mean? Now, some people might think this is sacrilegious teaching, okay? But hear me, I'm not eliminating your new creature. I'm not eliminating the salvation process. I'm not eliminating prayer and being in the Word and having accountable people and having, you know, support. I'm not eliminating that, but I'm telling you the truth. If you look every time from Genesis to Revelation, what was warfare about? Unresolved issues. Every single time. So you have to use everything that you received by being a believer to deal with this stuff so that he doesn't have a place to keep coming at you. He is not omniscient and omnipotent. He doesn't have that. All he has is what you allow him to have in the moment. Amen? So get your healing and get your deliverance. Now, this is where you're going to stop growing. Right here. That's the level of my maturity. Right there. I can't tell somebody how to deal with divorce. Because when I got divorced, I just like, okay, let's just got to move on. I got to get up in the next morning. I got to get my kids to school. Got to da, da, da. And so you never did the work of the grieving. So grieving got delayed and put over here. And then all of a sudden, something came up. And all of a sudden, all these emotions, like it was just yesterday. Well, you didn't deal with the grief back there. So now, here you are. So anything that's unresolved and undealt with, it's fair ground for the enemy to come in and discourage you and disappoint you and so forth. He will stop you right here. Now, are you can you be effective still with this amount of healing? Yes, ma'am. So I'm not saying that. Don't hear me say that. I can't be used because I'm not delivered yet. Uh-uh. But I'm telling you this, you need to have enough healing in you so that hurt people don't hurt people. If you're still so wounded that you're going to be giving people the wrong advice because you're still stuck up in that, then you don't need to do anything yet until at least you're beyond a certain level and you've had a certain level of healing so that you're not a wounded person or a broken person trying to help another wounded or broken person. You will project onto them. You might not mean it, but you will. Okay? Because hurt people, if they're not dealing with their stuff. Does that make sense? Okay. So we, in this first season that's there, we want to ask God, what is left that I need to deal with and put on the table, put in the light that could be used in my life? Okay, to discourage me or create an immature place. What is it? Is there anything left that I need to know? So we're becoming alert and aware to things. So I'll give you an example of this in just a second. The second stage, let me just go through them first. The second phase, I want you to put a line through application season, and I want you to put response, reaction. Response, reaction. Instead of application, put response, reaction. In this stage, we want to pay close attention and have a mindset to deal with issues and not avoid, dismiss, or excuse, or rationalize. We don't want to avoid. We don't want to dismiss. We don't want to rationalize, and we don't want to justify, okay, in that phase. So we want to pay attention to whenever, let's say, I was betrayed. Let's say that happened in your life. You got betrayed by somebody. So every time it looks like somebody might betray you again, you've forgiven that person, but the residual is that you made a vow. I'm never going to let anybody get close to me again to be that close in that they have an opportunity to betray me. As soon as you made that vow, you have a residual issue. You see how this goes? So then your response is going to be, because I learned that, yes, I was betrayed, and I felt some kind of way about that, and it really hurt me, and so I said, I'm not going to get close to people. And so your reaction was is that I put up a wall to protect myself. That's your reaction to that issue in season A, right? Okay, so then what we're saying is that we want the outcome to be is that you own your stuff. Own up to the truth. We want that outcome to be that. Excuse me? Yeah. Mm-hmm. The outcome to be is that I forgive myself, others, and sometimes God. We have to forgive God sometimes. Some people have to forgive God, you know. So that's the outcome of the second stage two. Then in stage three, okay, now I've found out what's going on. I see what my reactions are to that. But I don't want to keep doing that. I don't want to keep doing this behavior that keeps me having to wall up and not being able to get close to people and not being able to trust and not feeling safe. I don't want to have to keep doing that. And so in this third stage, you have to develop then a plan of action so that if I'm triggered, I do this. Because if I don't, I know this is what I'm going to do by my response and actions. Okay, so as soon as I feel or think that I might get betrayed again, you need to have a plan of action. So it becomes proactive. Not just a plan of action, but proactive means before it happens again, I have a plan to deal with it. See, when it does happen, and sure enough it will, because why? And your issues are going to be your issues, and those are the issues that the enemy is going to use. Okay, because he's not creating anything new. All your warfare is about your past. It's not new stuff. Okay, so have a plan of action. Yes. I'm on the three implementation. You have to have a plan of action. So the outcome of looking at what to do is develop a proactive plan of action to deal with my responses. Got me? Okay, so let me give an example of the first of these three stages. And this is a recent example, so I want to share it with you. So 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago now, I ran into this person, and I thought I had let go of everything that was associated with this person and their family. And a situation came up that all of a sudden, and I mean, it caught me off guard. I came home and I couldn't believe myself. Is that what ended up happening is I'm thinking every time they did this, I would just say, you know, these are these people. This is how they respond, and I'm not going to let it impact me, okay? And so I thought I was doing okay, but oh, no. So I got home, and all of a sudden, everything that they had ever done and said came rolling in the front like I was looking at a video camera rolling on. And I said, oh, my gosh. And I was feeling inside, I was feeling just yucky. Because guess what was coming up? Resentment, bitterness. It was boiling up inside me. And I said, oh, Lord, I can't believe it. Okay, so now I know myself, one of my issues that it's used by God, but it's also used by the enemy. And that is, I'm an advocate for people that have had injustices. So it's used by God. But on the shadow side of that is that if I see something or feel something personally that seems unjust and unfair and it totally is wrong and not accurate, oh, my gosh. Here comes injustice has a whole different attitude problem. Now, I know that, okay, because I've done this that I'm giving you, I've done it myself. So, okay, so what am I issue that I have to pay attention to is injustices issues, but not about everything. Just the ones I got to pay attention to is the one about me. So then I had to pay attention to what's my response or my reaction. Stinking thinking. Critical, like, dang, you know, you think that they would get this by now. I started saying stuff like that. You know, what in the world is wrong with them? How many times do I have to say this, you know? And how many times they have to mess it up and distort it, you know? Okay, so I know that I could go there. Now, I haven't gone there for, and this is what shocked me. I hadn't gone there for years. In 1978 was when God gave me that truth. So I really worked on my own injustice issues, or how it manifests, when it manifests, what kind of situations does it manifest in, and what do I do immediately to address it? I thought I did, but here's residual. So I said, God, what's this going on inside me? Because it feels ugly. So he said, why don't you name it? Go back to step one. What is this? The word hatred came out. Now, I don't hate people. That is not something that I do. And I was like sitting at my desk, and I'm like, are you serious, God? Hatred? He's like, look at the accumulation of what you just spewed out of your head. You didn't say it out your mouth. I'm reading your mind. And the word summarized was hatred. And I said, so stage two here, reaction, response. I was getting ready to start just blasting off. And nobody was listening to me, just myself. But I was going to be blasting off all kind of negativity, right? And disturbing my peace, because guess what? It had just come on the end of a very high experience. Watch the enemy when he comes behind a high experience. Okay, he did that to Jesus too, the same thing. After victory, here he comes. Well, that's just fine. I'll just wait a minute. Ah, so he waited a minute. This enemy waited for years for that day to show up. So I had to quickly name it. I had to quickly say, here, know yourself as well as the enemy knows you, D. What can you do? What will you do with this? If I name that. And then what was my proactive plan? My first plan was, first of all, you need to get to some paper, get to your laptop, and you need to start just writing. That last sentence doesn't have to go with the first sentence. Nothing needs to make sense. You need to get that junk out of you quick. Quick! Which is what I did. And then after I did that, I was like, okay, what do you want me to do with that then? Finish the forgiveness process, D. You did a certain level so that you could see these people, because I see them all the time. But you didn't finish the work. You put it aside so you could deal with them. And so I finished the work of that, which for me was prayer. I will not breathe without prayer. Prayer for me is like the ultimate. I got to pray, and I got to worship. And those are my two things that I have to get to. And then when I have some kind of peace of mind and in my right mind, then I can talk to somebody that's going to hold me accountable not to go back to that place once you let it go. Amen? I don't have to forget it, but I need to forgive it. And forgiveness was not for them, because they still don't even know what they're doing. The forgiveness is to take me out of the jail cell of my mind. Amen? That's how you can use this process, is to be truthful with yourself. And I went immediately. When you do this process, sisters, you don't dwell. I didn't dwell on that. I named it quickly. I looked at what I might do with it, and I knew what the enemy could do with that, and it could take me way down here to darkness, darkness, darkness. And so when we do this process, we act immediately, we don't dwell, we implement our proactive plan of action quickly, Because it only takes a second for him to take you down a spiral. Amen? Okay. So then that's the first three stages. And, you know, you can do it for yourself, but I wanted to give you an example of how you can use, how you can use this tool. I need to get some water just a second. The next two stages includes this last one that I said to you, the implementation season. You can't just practice that one time. So while you're still, you have to use your proactive plan over and over and over again. Okay? And whatever situations that it manifests itself, so that it becomes a part of you. It becomes integrated, which is the next phase. It's integrated now. My tool is so integrated that when this comes, I automatically do this. I automatically do that. So that's where integration comes. You automatically implement your proactive plan of action. Does that make sense, ladies? Okay. And if I continue to automatically implement that and practice every time I get, put it in place, have accountable people that are holding you to doing it, do it. You know, no matter what your fear is, no matter what, you know, what you think might happen or the consequences, do the next right thing. Do the next righteous thing. Do the next mature thing. And as you continue to do that, then eventually, sisters, you will, because integration is the beginning of deliverance, because it's becoming a part of you, right? So you're being delivered from that thing. Then if you continue to do that, you will begin to manifest, which is the last stage, and that is the outcome is you should manifest the fruits of the Spirit. Without even, like, it's just oozing out of you. I don't have to win this argument. Why? You major in the majors. All this minor stuff, what earthly good for eternal purposes? None. I had my way. What? Did that help anything eternally? No. So I began to separate out, is this really worth it? Does it really have any kind of eternal value? If it doesn't, let it go. It's not worth it. It's not worth your peace. It's not worth that intimacy. It's not worth relationships. It's just not worth it. And listen, if people are too toxic, then let them go too. You don't have to just keep hanging on to people unless you have a holy assignment to walk with that person. Then you will have the strength and the power and the knowledge and the wisdom on how you deal with this while they're in their journey. But other than that, and people are just still just being toxic, you know, they call you and they're telling you this and that and other thing, and you're like, this sounds like push the button, repeat. Because last time you talked to them and they asked for your advice or your opinion or your feedback and you gave it to them, nothing changed from the last conversation. Now, there's a period of time that you are still going to walk with them because healing has time period to it, right, and season to it. But after a hot minute, like, this is just enough. And all they're doing then is bringing you down in your spirit. That's toxic. Let them go. Now, I always make a bridge for people that I have to let go. I make a bridge. Because people still always need to have somebody safe that they can come back to. But the key that you have to tell them, it sounds like you're not ready. There's nothing wrong with telling people that. It doesn't sound like you're ready. Why don't you use what you have gotten and be consistent with that, and then we can talk again. Okay? But right now, it ain't happening. Okay? So we hang out too long with toxic people, and then we wonder how come we starting to feel bad, think bad, and everything else. It's like, because you don't know how to let go. Okay, do you guys have it? All right. Now, I could go into more depth on that, and maybe some other time you can have me come and I can spend more time with that. But I just want to give you just that little snippet of that tool is to really begin to look at yourself honestly, begin to see what your reactions and responses are. It could be, you know, in that awareness can be things like unresolved grief. It could be unresolved hurts, pains, betrayals, fears, and doubts. It could be whatever is your issue, but then how do you respond to that? And then what do you need to do to have a proactive plan to deal with it? You have to stay ready instead of trying to get ready in the midst of the drama. That's what the proactive plan is for, staying ready, being ready, not trying to get ready when I'm weak and vulnerable in there, okay? All right, amen? Okay. 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 All right, now let's go to the next page here. And this is another page that I'm not going to go over a lot, but I wanted to make sure you had it in your handout. The person that is going to help you with this and that's going to help you with honoring God is the Holy Spirit. Amen? The person that's going to help you with the tool I just gave you is the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's going to say, D, that was hatred. Don't be trying to wash it with, oh, well, I'm upset. I'm just so frustrated. That is just so irritating to me. Oh, Lord. No. This is what is in your heart. Put it out there in the light. As soon as you put it in the light, it depowers the enemy's ability to come behind you and shame you with that. Amen? It's the Holy Spirit's job. So get to know him. The role of the Holy Spirit is to empower you to walk in freedom. You will look forward rather than backward all the time. At first, you have to look backward because you got to get knowledge and information and wisdom. But after you have looked back enough, stop looking back. Take it as your testimony. Look, this is rolled on in now to my testimony. You were sexually abused. Okay, that you can't be like having a scarlet letter on your back for every minute. You know, connecting yourself to the same kind of person with a different name. Stop it. You see what I'm saying? That's my past. That is an experience. That's part of my testimony. But God brought me through it, and I made it through, and my kids are this, or I'm doing this now. That's what you need to say. Tell the story, but keep looking forward. Amen? Okay, so he'll help you to do that. Expect to retrieve the knowledge and wisdom of the past, but keep walking forward. The Holy Spirit can be called upon when you need him. 24 hours a day. Your sister girlfriends aren't up 24 hours a day. Right? But the Holy Spirit is. And first of all, unlike God, where we have to call on him, right? The Holy Spirit is right here. The Holy Spirit is in you. You don't have to even go that far. He's right here. And we say, thank you, God, for that. You're in me. 24 hours a day. Access. I can access you 24 hours a day. I don't even have to call him up on the main line. You know, just call him up on the main line. No, here is the line up here in me. Speak. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm listening, baby girl. I'm listening. Okay? So now we have to call on those names, and each of those names are descriptive of the nature and the ministry of how he will assist you to live an abundant and fruitful life. Amen? One of the names is the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth because he will guide you and direct you into things that are contrary to the beliefs of Scripture. Something that's contrary to the truth of God, he will tell you. But you have to learn how to be in tune. I'm going to hand out a sheet here to you guys in a minute, as soon as I go through this, that is going to share on that sheet, is going to say how you can stay in tune with the voice of the Holy Spirit versus the voice of the enemy. Okay? And now I could do 4 or 5 weeks of that teaching, but I just summarized it in this one handout. Okay? So that means that anything that you've gotten here today from our other sisters in the workshops or whatever I've done, or, you know, whatever scriptures that all of us have given you or that's in your handouts, it's up to you to go back and study. It's up to you to choose the transformation, the healing, and the deliverance, okay? It's up to you. If I was to come back next year, I should see a difference in you guys, right? Even if you made, here's what somebody, one of my clients, he was so discouraged one day. He came in, he said, "D, I just keep taking steps backwards all the time. I just keep going backwards." And I said, so I listened to him because he wanted to confess, you know. So he's like talking, "I'm just keep taking steps back," and I just keep, and I said, "Yeah, that's true. Since here to here, that's exactly what you keep doing. However, let me tell you this. You made 10 steps forward, and you only took 2 back. That means you still made a progress with 8 steps forward. So how about you change how you're saying that and said, I took 2 steps back, but I made 8 steps forward, and I'm going to live my life on the 8 steps that I am doing, and I'm going to keep growing in that, and I'm going to keep stepping in that until I step out and over this thing and through it." Amen. Amen. Hey, we got to sometimes just change our thinking to a victorious thinking. He's so dwelling on the 2 steps, he forget the 8. Reminding ourselves of the 8. And who's going to do that? The Holy Spirit will. Don't beat yourself up, daughter. Remember. Or son, remember. You took 8. Okay? What did you learn about? What happened as to why you did the 2 back? Oh, I can go to my sheet that D gave me. What is it that I need to know about myself? What kind of response I have? What kind of plan, the proactive plan do I need to have? So I don't take 2 steps back. Maybe this time next year I only took 1. The God and Spirit of comfort. Christ promised us that he would send a comforter to be there in times of our trouble, our pain, our confusion, our grief, and our despair. The Holy Spirit will be your helper. The Spirit of comfort comes alongside you to guide you, encourage you, instruct you, and assist you. You are not alone. And the next time you say, "Well, everybody has left me," correct your thinking. Correct what you say. Everybody left me, but I still have the Holy Spirit. Everybody left me, but I still have Jesus who died for me. Everybody left me, but I still got God, my Father. He holds cattle on the hill. I mean, the creator of all things. Why your story is a big story to God. And he wants you delivered and set free. Okay? So ask the Holy Spirit, "I need your comfort today. I need the truth to be revealed." The Spirit of life. The Holy Spirit brings life-giving power. His presence will be part of your life. It is, because he's inside you. The Holy Spirit of life imparts giftings and anointing to fulfill your purpose and your destiny while releasing your passions. That's one of the things that he does, too, because a lot of times we're so confused that we confuse passions a lot of times with what our real purpose is. Passions are only a part of the purpose to help you to do your purpose and destiny and enjoy it. Feel passionate about this, okay? So that's what those are for. Then the Spirit of holiness. The Holy Spirit will assist you in the journey of transformation so that you are grace-filled. You can depend on a nudge from him to examine your hearts. Be assured that the Holy Spirit will guide you. He will guide you. If you don't believe it, you have only to look back over your journals. When I die, my children will be able to look at my Bibles that I have had through the years. I've done a lot of journaling just in my Bibles. I have journals, but I also have journaled them in mine. And yours may not be the same as mine. And we don't have to compare our measure of faith with each other. What you have is sufficient for you and your calling. And if you need more, he will give it to you. So we're never lacking anything that we need. We have everything at our request and our disposal. Just ask him. We have not because we ask not. And just because you think your prayer hasn't been answered, that's not a negative. It's him like, your prayer is not in alignment with over here. Or there is a delay, but it is not a denial issue. You need to learn how to wait on the Holy Spirit and on God for the timing. Sisters, timing is critical. If you go too soon above God, it's out of step. If you wait too long, it's out of step because you miss an opportunity, okay? Ask him for the right timing. I've had things where he told me maybe 10 or 15 years ahead of time, did not come to pass for 10 or 15 years later. I've had things that came to pass from that morning to that night, already done. Already done. It's his timing. Okay, become acquainted with that. And then the Spirit of God is moving on the earth and in your life. As you ask, seek, and pray, the Holy Spirit stands ready to move heaven and earth on your behalf. Do you believe that? He will do that for you. The Holy Spirit will empower you to go boldly into the world in order to fulfill your purposes. He does not want you behind closed doors all the time. We have a world out here. Your job is a ministry. Your families are ministries. People in the grocery store is a ministry. The people in your church is a ministry. Okay? And we need to learn how to be connected with people that don't know. We don't need to be of the world. We need to be in the world. Jesus stayed in the world, and he stayed alongside people in the world. And his own words were he was more comfortable with the prostitutes and stuff than he was with other people that claim to know him and his father so well. I'm more comfortable right here. Okay, so don't neglect those that Jesus died for. He died for us that are broken, sinners in need of a help and a savior. That's what he died and resurrected for. Can we do nothing less but to honor him in our minds, in our bodies, in our spirit, in our actions, in our choices, and who we align ourselves up with, and honoring him in our balance of our tithes, and our time that we spend in intimacy with him. Honoring our Abba Father. Amen? Amen. Okay, I want to give you, thank you. Thank you. Yes. I told it. How much time do we have? I'm wrapping up. Okay. I'm done, actually, aren't I? So I just want to say thank you very much for having me here today. And the sheet that you have that's being handed out is that separation of being in tune with the voice of the Holy Spirit versus the voice of the enemy and how to be able to hear that clearly and separate that out, because sometimes they sound the same, but they're not. Okay? All right. Father God, we want to bless your holy name. Father, you are our El Shaddai, the Almighty God. You are Adonai. You are Jehovah Nissi, the God that's the banner and covering over us and our protector. God, we want to thank you because you are Jehovah Rapha, the greatest physician ever born, ever given to us. Father, we thank you that you are our need meter and our helper, Lord. And you are the person that walks with us day and night. Thank you for being our paraclete, Holy Spirit, that you come alongside us daily, every moment, moment to moment. Guide us into all truth that we might be transformed and receive the redemptive life so that we can tell the story of the testimony of who you are and honor your very name, God, our Heavenly Father. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. Thank you.